Culture eats strategy for lunch, and informed cultures drive decisions and inspire action. At the Data Culture Podcast, we talk with execs, visionaries, and data experts that you may move from idea to outcome in your own data culture journey. Welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. My name is Sid Atkinson, data culture innovator and consulting leader with over 21 years in data.
And I'm Lee Harper, AI human with over a decade doing AI stuff.
With us today is Josh Christie, North Dakota State Legislator and tech entrepreneur. Josh, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Sid. Thank you, Lee. I appreciate that. Going into my sophomore term here as a state legislator in North Dakota, we do every other year legislation. So we're ready to jump back in January. And a little bit of my background is around a software development shop for about 15 years that we focused on high tech and early stage MVP and software development for companies and helping them go to market. So that's a little bit on my background.
Awesome. Well, and then that background is germane to what we're going to discuss today as given that you have this wonderful experience and purview into the world of tech and the implications of tech and why we need to think carefully about things to do, but the benefits and the impacts. So you are working on some really neat things that we're going to talk about today in the North Dakota. So being positioning North Dakota as a leader in AI and this. So what inspired y'all? So you're not the only one, but what inspired y'all to position North Dakota as a leader in advanced computing and AI?
Yeah. So, you know, two years ago when I went into my first session, generative AI was a relatively new term to a lot of people. And coming into this session, knowing that things have really greatly advanced over the last 2 years, I wanted to make sure that we're doing the right policy pieces and also the right funding pieces to make sure that we are advancing economic development, workforce development, and also have opportunities for our research institutes to attract the right students to the state as well as the right professorships. Because we only get 80 days within session to try to figure this out. So just really wanted to lean into my domain expertise a little bit and help out where I can from a policy standpoint.
Yeah, so it definitely your individual background, both, you know, being from North Dakota, living in North Dakota, having tech company in North Dakota, I can easily see like your personal motivations to like wanting to position, you know, your home state and your home ground as a leader. You know, what about some of the other folks? What would, you know, what are their kind of inspirations? How did they either come about or be inspired to, you know, join you on this journey?
Yeah. So we've got some policy on the restriction or the negative side of, you know, anytime you unleash a technology, there's the good, the bad, the ugly. And we've got some people within the legislature that gravitate more towards the restriction of things, and I'm sure we'll get into that here in a little bit. But then we also have those that are, you know, looking to advance technology in the state. And we've got a interesting legislature in the House where I'm at. We've got 94 people, and I think 83 of them are Republicans. So we've got a very wide swath of, you know, moderates to very conservatives. And then we've got a handful of Democrats and new independents within the House. So it's been a really interesting kind of roadshow over the last few months, trying to shop this around and make sure that I'm getting people's thoughts and inputs and making sure that we can put the best policy forward we can for the state here over the next 2 years.
And different states will have different, because a lot of states want to position themselves, you know, not all, but many, as being kind of AI forward or leaders in the AI space. What do you think makes North Dakota specifically well-positioned in this way, you know, compared to, say, Texas or California or, you know, some of the Northeast? What is it that North Dakota has or doesn't have that kind of makes it a well-positioned here?
Well, with, you know, I'll start with the weather. With the wind chill this morning, we were negative 24. Today. So we've got some really great cooling power that happens. Our power utilization rates are very, very low to attract them. And we also have a great regulatory environment. So any sales tax that would be normally charged on the equipment that goes into the data center, the facility, is completely waived at this point. I don't know if legislation is going to try to change that this year or not. So we've just got some really good environment to establish those business relationships, as well as, like I joked, our natural cooling power that we have up here versus Texas or California.
Yeah, we definitely cannot engage any passive cooling systems down here. Maybe once or twice a year. That Josh, one of the things that was very interesting about the draft that you sent over for us to read, and we had an earlier podcast guest on who talked about this a little bit back. You know, as you mentioned, most people gravitate towards the negative, right? And so Jake talked about, like, hey, a lot of science fiction, right, is dystopian. So why not write a utopian version of like what the future could be? And so your bill or your ideas take very like, let's go positively create a future. You know, you're talking about economic development, workforce solutions, and enhancing research. So it's a big, so walk us through a little bit on like, you know, y'all have a vision for the change you want to see over these next 5 to 10 years. So now you're going to cast this vision for interested parties that want to come join the North Dakota on this future creation. Like, what is some of that vision that y'all want to cast?
Within North Dakota, we have a couple of very unique entities that exist. So we've got the Bank of North Dakota, which is owned by the state. Mm-hmm. And I believe currently that's the only bank that's owned by the state. We've got a North Dakota mill, which processes a lot of grain and natural products here in the state. We're a very agricultural rich state, and we lead in a number of different products, from soybeans to wheat to a number of different agricultural components. My hope and my want is, can we do something similar from a technology standpoint, that we can share resources? What we're kind of considering as the North Dakota Advanced Computing Alliance, and can that attract the people that really understand AI, advanced computing, and then also provide resources to it, so we can kind of pool our resources in a North Dakota way to help solve those workforce issues. Because, you know, sometimes it's a zero-sum game of when you're trying to hire people, especially we're a state of less than 800,000 people. So trying to find those that really understand advanced computing is, I could probably, you know, count them between these two hands I've got of people that I know personally that really get it within the state. And so just want to be able to pool those resources and figure out how we can best solve the workforce issues around AI, data centers, and advanced computing. So,
yeah. And I think when you, just for folks to really be explicit here for folks listening, when you talk about the zero sum game on this, right, as it sits today, without an initiative to like this and without something to attract more business, more entrepreneurship, more jobs, everybody's going to be competing for the same 700,000 people, right? There's no net new. And so for any, so if everybody's then stealing from everybody else, there's no real growth. It's just shifting the digits. And what you're trying to do is then add to, make the pie bigger, basically.
Yeah. And what I've seen, at least within my consultancy, was, you know, I would be competing against a major partner of a Meta or a Google or somebody else for the same free talent, because they see the Midwest as a great talent pool to tap into. And we got some really great engineers around here, but as a small employer, that's really difficult to compete with a major partner that can provide those benefits and profit sharing and just everything else. So the more that we can do to make it business friendly, to attract the data centers to the state and attract that workforce development, the better. And we've had a number of really good conversations with some startup studios from out of state that want to come in. We've got a very strong UAS or unmanned flight drone environment, and then also autonomous farming ecosystem as well. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a lot of interest in those sectors and bringing partners to the state. And I want to be able to advance that as much as I can. So.
Yeah, our mutual friend Dorman and his crew are doing a lot around, we're very interested in sustainable ag. So if anybody listening is very, you know, wants to see some of the forefront of what's going on in agriculture, North Dakota is definitely a place to check out. So Josh, this is something that's going to require a lot of public-private partnership to move it forward. And that's why y'all are advancing these ideas and these bills. So what is the scope and focus of this legislation that y'all are working on? If you're going to, I know you kind of have hinted to it a little bit, but let's walk us through that some more so that we can see from the macro scale, like how do we, I mean, you're truly talking about at a state level, how do we build an AI culture? And building like everything from the policy to the legislation to then like companies coming in and actually contributing them to what could be globally on like this on the technology. So what is the scope and focus for the legislation you're crafting right now?
Well, things that I'm working on, and some's on the policy, some's on the funding side. And the first one is what I'm considering a compute credit. And that basically is getting advanced computing access for AI and advanced technologies for our research institutes, and then also being able to grant those out through our Department of Commerce so that it attracts better deal flow, because we've got a number of really great grant programs at the state. And then I'm combining that with another funding bill for early stage R&D funding as well. So if you've got a advanced computing or an AI startup, I want to be able to grant out funds through the state so that you can get it to market, that you can prove it within your ecosystem, and you don't have to go borrow money to do that. We've got, again, a number of great programs that are a little more for established companies within the state. And so I'm just trying to bring that a little bit lower to where a lot of companies are starting out with those. We have two bills that I'm bringing forward, one that I'm co-sponsoring. One has to do with generative AI and the protection of basically a vulnerable person of an image that gets generated of them, that it's the same as if the picture was taken. So think child pornography or, you know, any of those areas where we're trying to make that prosecutable within the state. There's, I believe, 12 states that have already passed model legislation on that. There's another bill that I'm co-sponsoring on election information in generative AI that they'd have to disclose that it was used from generative, and then kind of a variation off of that of that you can't use someone's likeliness in an advertisement or, you know, something else outside of the elections as well. So I'm trying to put some guardrails on things and make sure that we've got some good frameworks going forward. And then, I talked about the early stage R&D fund. And then also, we don't have a really good policy within the state from an AI perspective. And so I'm hoping to work with our new CIO to help draft some policy around that so that it's, if a teacher or somebody within state government wants to use, again, I'll go back to generative AI and ChatGPT, and they throw sensitive information into it, I want them to know where the boundaries are for that, so they're not putting people's private information out there. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get a well-intentioned teacher that's going to get, you know, fired or something like that because of stuff they don't know about. So
it also helps to bring confidence. Like sometimes if there's no rules around something, people know there's a rule somewhere, right? If you define that rule, it actually often can give people some freedom and confidence because now they know, okay, I can do the things all on this side of the line. And that, you know, might help them actually use it more than if it's just, give it a crack and see what happens.
Absolutely. It's not meant to limit what they can do with it, because there's a boundary that goes, I'm using a generative AI service to do some video work, and it's in the marketing space for me as a consultant. And I don't want to tread on those that are using it, but I want to protect those that don't know how to best use it. And I also want to protect those that are going to use it for, you know, ill intention. And so there's definitely a balancing act right now between those. And especially when we, like I said, when we meet every 2 years, it's really hard to know where this is going and how to predict that going forward. And we've got a whole bunch of funding pieces also within department budgets in the AI and data center space. And we're looking at trying to recapture some of the natural gas flaring that happens in the western part of our state, and really just trying to make it an attractive environment to bring industry in so that we can attract partners and make this a good environment.
One thing I wanted to, before we move too much further on some of the other things that are really important to talk about, I do want to hit on one thing. Because you mentioned You know, a lot of people focus on the negative. And so we talked about that future crafting, build the future. But you said something I think is worth going a little deeper on. It's like you're crafting bills to protect people, right? Like we're very importantly, this technology and all the different vectors on this technology can be used very easily for ill. So now as you're working on that, right, as you mentioned, there's a lot of people that you work with, they are not technologists. And so when you're going to start describing crafting bills to protect from harm, it can at many times wake up the very worst fears in them. It's like, oh my God, John Connor is going to get killed and the future is going to now be like us versus robots. So as you're working on the things to protect, then people's fear, uncertainty, and doubt is starting to spiral out. How do you also keep them focused on what, like, no, this is very important for Blaine's safety and foundation so that we can have this utopian future. How do you balance that?
It's a very interesting conversation. So in my, like I said, we meet every 2 years. And then in the interim, I was on workforce and an IT committee. And the entire conversation, I shouldn't say the entire, 90% of the conversation was around AI. And we had some people early on that were concerned with, like you said, the John Connor coming back to the future and getting us. And I think we're starting to see those opportunities. And if we can spin this in a way to where we can say, you know, North Dakota flares 24% of the natural gas in the entire U.S. And that just goes up into the ecosystem. Can we recapture that and use that for low cost of compute within the state? Can we use this for workforce development and attracting employees and additional, you know, tax revenue and growing our cities? Can we use this for better retention within the university system and attract students and professors that we may not get access to otherwise? I think that collaborative kind of North Dakota effort is definitely something that lands pretty well to most people I've been talking to. And I think I made about 350 phone calls over the last month here. And I owe a number of people an email follow-up off of that, but I'm trying to circulate this far and wide for as much as I can to just help spread the word about what we're trying to do here and the opportunities in North Dakota.
Oh, it's amazing. So then, the other bit on also related to that, when you're talking about policy, AI perspectives that the state is building out, right? Like, and Lee and I have the good fortune of working with some state agencies here in Texas, as well as like others in the past. And one thing that's awesome to see is states collaborate a lot. So what and how are y'all collaborating as you put together your AI? Because I don't know that declaratively, but I certainly hope everybody, every state is working on this. And I have to imagine they are. So how are y'all collaborating with the other states to share ideas? And what are you learning from some of those other states?
We've got a number of national organizations that help us out with understanding what's happening. So like NCSL, for instance, has been a good resource for me to tap into and know who else is working on policy bills, what has been passed, what's in front of people. Because there's a lot of these states have full-time legislators. They've got full-time staff. They're able to put a lot more work in than we're able to. So it's good to know what's, you know, like South Dakota's got a very similar bill to what I'm trying to pass on the deepfake legislation bill. So it's good to know that sat well with their population, because again, we're very similar. I know there's a consortium between a lot of the Midwestern states of Montana, South Dakota, and North Dakota. The state gets really small, really quick, and there's a lot of connections that happen. We've got a new commerce commissioner that's coming in from South Dakota. We have a new governor that's coming in here, just got sworn in as well. We've got a new congresswoman who is a public service commissioner. So she dealt with energy, which is a huge thing with the data center and AI space. So we've got a lot of moving pieces right now. Like I said, we've got a new CIO that's stepping in, and he was in the house for 15 years now. So there's just a lot of people to connect with and making sure that I'm trying to do my due diligence with connecting anyone I can so that, you know, we don't walk into committee and present this and all of a sudden you get a major partner that comes out or a lobbyist and saying, this is terrible, we hate it. We don't have a whole lot of opportunity to correct that. So trying to put the reps in ahead of time.
So then just as a quick recap and jump in and correct things I say. So we've talked a lot, you know, so far about all the different bits and pieces, the hard work that you and others are putting in to help position North Dakota and create opportunity in AI. So across economic development, both hardware solutions, jobs, software, workforce solutions. So how do we prep current people and the new people for participating in those? And then, you know, that important, you know, research opportunities, like it's always a good when we can have alignment between what's needed in industry and what, you know, university wants to work on. There can be a lot of awesome things that come out of that collaboration. So three beautiful segments that you're focusing on. And then the focus on the legislation is how do we hit those three areas? What are some of the details inside that? There's a couple of different bullet points that you put out. So, and then we talked about deep fake and the protection pieces. What else is in there that you want folks to know about?
You know, we're working closely with a lot of the utility partners as well, because a lot of these advanced centers that use GPUs are, you know, many orders of magnitude ahead of power consumption versus a normal data center. So we're working with them as well. Want to make sure that we've got the workforce in place to really help drive this forward. And like I said earlier, I think taking that gosh darn old good North Dakota mentality of let's all come together and collaborate and want the community to try to get this done, I think is a big part of it. So.
Okay. And so the policy piece, so let's separate for, you know, a lot of people that are listening are going to understand the difference between legislation and then the policy stuff that you're working on. Talk a little bit about how these things go hand in hand. What's the importance of including these policy bits as well as like the funding that stuff that you're talking about for the development?
Sure. Within North Dakota, we have a lot of oil, natural gas, and coal resources. And at some point that's going to run out on us. And some is possibly hundreds of years in the future, and some is 20 or 30 years in the future. And one of the things within the state that we've built up is our Chief Strategic Investment Fund and also our Legacy Fund. Our Legacy Fund, I believe, is around $10 billion, if I'm not mistaken. And we're, from a legislation standpoint, we're betting on those to keep growing. And so really what I'm hoping to do is to attract technology partners to the state, whether that's startups, whether that's industry, whether that's data centers. I want to make this as friendly as we can to bring them here and then also be good community partners as well. So we've got one great partner in the South Central part of the state. They're coming in and they're building housing for the people that they're bringing in, you know, and, and they're really going above and beyond to make sure that they're being a good community partner and it's not a disruption or it's not jacking up utility rates. So I want to find more partnerships that we can set the foundation for this session and then work forward from it, because this is not something that we pass this on a Tuesday and all of a sudden Wednesday somebody breaks ground, especially at 24.
The 3D print a data center, right? You know, they just come in and 3D print the data center in a day.
Yeah, that might happen soon. That might happen. But no, I did love, I was really fascinated seeing like the 3D printed houses. So one of my old college buddies works for a premier architecture firm based out of San Antonio. And they built probably one of the first upscale like 3D printed houses. It was fascinating to look at. But yeah, we're not there yet.
Not there yet. I helped consult with a local company that does hempcrete panels. So it's our hemp-based building materials that they prefabricate and can slap together. There's definitely lots of really interesting stuff that's happening these days and in terms of that and how quickly can we get something stood up and moving forward.
Yeah, I would love to see better, like, I think there's so many things that we could be doing is simply better, even just like how you mentioned housing, you have this great partner building housing. It's not easy yet for like housing developers and other folks to build like really super efficient homes. But I would see with some of these modular components on how you can still end up with a custom designed home, but then like thick walls or something like that. Cause almost everybody needs good insulation. Like we can let good airflow happen, but we've got I don't know, relatively paper thin walls here in Texas in most housing. It's not as properly insulated as it should be, but it's hot. It's really hot down here. Right. And like we waste loads upon loads of energy just like keeping these things cool and cycling throughout. I think there's all sorts of fun opportunities that we'll find with materials.
Yeah. And up here, we go from 115 in the summer down to 30 below in the winter. And so got all sorts of building challenges. But it's, again, I think the more partners that we can find in industry that are willing to lean into a community, like the data center that I'm talking about is in a community of 1,100 people. And they're bringing another 100 to 150 employees in to run the data center. So it's a major boost to the city. It's a major strain on the city as well. Just trying to find ways that we can make this friendly for industry and then also not disrupt the communities that they're moving into. So
if you were going to pick one or two things out of Josh's big box of ideas, like, so let's just say y'all like move forward, pass this legislation, get some good ideas out there, or put the legislation and the policy out there. So now it's like kind of future cast. What are like the one or two key things you'd love to see happen?
If we're going past this session and the things we talked about today, boy, I would be a terrible venture capitalist because I cannot predict the future to save my life.
In all fairness, no commercial.
Neither can they.
Yeah, just couple of big bets, you know, and I don't call 2 out of 100 an amazing bet, right?
I would really like to see having a couple majors in our state from a data center perspective that would provide good, high paying jobs, provide for the communities, make sure that they're good partners within those communities. And how can we advance North Dakota's thought process and technology? Because we've got term limits on the book. I came in last session 2 years ago. I've got this session. If I get reelected again, I've got two more terms and then I'm term limited out. And how can I best spend my time and advance the technology process within the state? Because I've seen what my predecessors, our former governor, who's now moving into the federal administration, has been able to do. And again, that was 25 years ago that he made that impact. And it takes a long time to really, really see that impact. So I'm just trying to figure out how can I read the tea leaves a little bit and figure out where to put the energy and make this beneficial for the state.
Now, and I think you've outlined a couple of them. As you said, you know, seeing more on the data center side, which then physically drags along jobs with it, right? It's like harder to, once you get that physical investment, there's usually a gravity well that kind of happens there and it pulls in some other things. Because software, as you mentioned, like software startups, they could be anywhere in the world these days. Like software companies can, even if you're working on AI on the product and the software side, even on the data side, you don't have to physically be anywhere. But establishing that gravity well with the data centers is definitely a strong suit. And I think the other piece that you mentioned a lot was, you know, what kind of interesting research, if you're funding like enhancing research opportunities, what are some of the things that y'all are collaborating with on the universities to move forward?
Yeah, if we can do early stage R&D, whether that's private sector, whether that's research institutes, which we've got a handful here in the state that focus on different things, I feel like the more the better, because if we can attract from the outside of the state and, you know, let's say we get a few new venture studios that then bring in 5 or 10 companies to do UAS or agricultural work, what's the repercussions of that in 5 years? I think it's a fairly long-term play, but I think it's a fairly safe investment as well for us to put the money and time and energy into it.
Fantastic. Well, Josh, is there anything else you want to make sure that folks that are interested in hearing more about North Dakota and how they might participate in this future that you're casting? What should they reach out? You mentioned this, the Computing Alliance. Anything else that you'd point folks to follow and get involved in?
any of your audience that has any questions or thoughts or anything in your guys' ecosystem, feel free to reach out to me, ndlegis.gov. You can find me there directly, or my personal email is josh@joshchristie.com. Feel free to reach out. I'm happy to answer any questions and make introductions or whatever I can do. Again, we're a friendly folk of people up here. So,
well, fantastic. Josh, thanks again for making some time for us today. Appreciate having you on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.